Hi, I'm Dmytro Švets, your host at the Start Global Insights, where I interview experts from different countries about local business secrets and international expansion experience. Today, my guest is David Trafford, the communication trainer that is an expert in teaching people and companies how to speak short, clear, and concise and deliver information about their products and companies and proper way to be understood and heard. And David is an old friend of mine. He was helping us a lot with preparing Ukrainian startups and companies for pitching their products and their solutions to their potential clients. And suddenly we are ended up in Lviv in Ukraine, where David came to see how the situation in Ukraine is in reality. So we are now sitting in a hotel in Lviv in Ukraine during the wartime. So hi, David, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's I travel a lot, as you know, and usually if the flight is not so late that it's through the night, I am listening to podcasts. Of course, yours is one of them. So it's a little bit interesting and strange to actually be on the receiving end, as it were. I'll take exception with one of your words, which is, I mean, words are super important, which is expert. And expert has all sorts of weight and things that go with it. Actually, it just comes from a word meaning to try. And that's the origin of the word expert. And experts are people who have tried. And that actually is a kind of example of how I look at things, which is not just the origins of words for the sake of it, but breaking things down and looking beyond the obvious label. And yep, we are, as Dima said, we are in Lviv, and it is encouraging to see life going on. And we had a couple of all clear sirens the other day, but generally, you know, the world isn't getting this side of the country much at all, understandably perhaps, but yeah, for people here, life has to go on.
As our podcast is devoted to companies that are going to another countries, so it is kind of a combination. We have businesses that already have product, they already work in domestic market, but when they go abroad, so when they go to new country, it is like a startup. Yeah, so it is and there is a new client, the clients have this new needs, etc. And one of the previous episodes was about the taking part in trade shows. Mm-hmm. And there I said that you have to prepare yourself before going to the trade show.
Yep.
And one of the part of this preparation is about the presentation of the company and products, etc. And I know that we at least we had together several projects about the preparation of companies going to present their products to foreign potential clients, and you've prepared dozens of them. What are the major mistakes that you see when they do that?
A lot of the mistakes are just not doing that one thing, which is, in terms of, you know, if a company buys another company, the phrase like due diligence, like checking out what actually is the company that you are buying, investigating, these are the things that usually lawyers and accountants do, but really checking out what could be the horror stories in some of these other companies. But it's the same concept. It's do your homework, and it's really finding out as much as possible as you can. If you're going to another country, you've got to be really doing your homework, asking people. There is this wonderful thing I'm sure all of your listeners have heard of these days, which is really useful. It's, what's the name of it? It's called the internet. Now, you can actually do a certain amount of research. One of the things that you referred to that you and I did was prepare some Ukrainian companies to promote them to different parts of Germany, different industry groups in Germany. There are these days, it's not so difficult to find industry groups, even in relatively small towns. They may not respond to you. They may respond, but not in a particularly constructive way. Was it the Disney film? No doubt it was some earlier fairy tale. And we have this phrase, you know, you've got to kiss a lot of frogs until you find your prince. You know, you've if you're serious about this, you know, what is really the problem that you're solving for other people? You know, in a way, we are all kind of selfish. What's in it for us? Why should I buy your product? Okay, I've already got a product that kind of does that. Why are you different? Et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, but and this is like a general attitude of salespeople. Yes, it doesn't matter if they go abroad or here. They think that they know what other people like to have, and mm-hmm. they prepare this like in advance. The problem is that they do not know if they guessed right or not. Another thing that I see, and it is the biggest problem I perceive, is that they, as you said, yes, we would like to talk about our business, our case, a lot, and endless conversation. So we, because we love our business, we love our mm-hmm. product, we can endlessly speak about it. And if we have a company presentation, it also has like many slides and many information about the company and product and details and technical details, whether or not it is needed. And I know that you have developed through these years of experience and of being an expert, as you said, trying things out and testing and getting back the feedback, you developed very simple but very doable methodology how to be more clear, specific, and down to the point with the presentation. Can you briefly describe the key steps of this methodology?
Sure. Now, what... Again, this is to just emphasize the words you've said. This is super simple. And I like getting to the basic level of things, because if we understand those, then everything is built up from that. And this is just a process of doing that. I'll use the topics, which, again, mostly we use with startups, but they cover a whole bunch of very important areas. And again, the startup world is full of, you know, what's the problem you're solving and what is your solution? And that's great. And that's fine. Actually, most things these days are just incremental improvements on things. There's very, very few totally original things, but that's okay. Let's not publicly talk about a problem, but let's, from the business point of view, look at the market and the opportunity in a market. It is solving a problem for people. You do need to identify other people's problems. But my broad, important topic is, you know, what's the market and what's the opportunity in that market? It's a little bit of why are you different? Where are you different? But also, it's really investigating the market.
If we can transfer that to B2B sales, when yeah. companies already understand who are their clients mm-hmm. and they know, for example, a distributor in Germany would be a potential mm-hmm. client for them. And then probably I can transfer your words from the startup world when you don't know the client. Yes, so when you mm-hmm. just analyze the opportunities in the market, then in this case, it is to analyze the problems that this potential client have.
Yeah, and it comes back to what I said again early on. It's investigating, doing your due diligence, asking questions. Mm-hmm. You know, words have so much power, and I know that's a very obvious statement. But let's take the word platform. Platform is used so much these days for tech platforms, for Airbnb, Deliveroo, etc., etc., etc. If you use the word platform in a room of English-speaking older people, they're going to think of a railway. And we all know the word platform. The power of a word to put us mentally in one place or another place. And it's usually people will misinterpret things. So coming back again to the market and the opportunity in a market, and where are you as a seller of a product or service, where are you different? What is different? And yes, as you just correctly said, you know, what finding out what can be the problem that you can solve for a particular type of business. And you know, you need to go beneath your label, beneath the surface, and to the ingredients. But getting people to think about deconstructing things, and you were saying about corporate presentations, there is a point, there is a place where people need, you know, it's their website, it's their general corporate brochure, et cetera, et cetera. But if you take, you know, a car manufacturer, you know, BMW, VW, whatever, every single model will have its own particular marketing. Even, I don't know what it is now, let's say the three series BMW. I mean, BMW have now got about 25 different series, but the three series used to be the two-door, the five-door, the brake, the combi, the convertible, the M series, whatever, whatever. They were all marketed to different people. They were all, therefore, different customers. There were different segments because BMW knows, or at least certainly used to know, all the different parts of what they do and where that can apply to different potential customer segments. It's still, the next label up is BMW 3 Series. The label above that is BMW. The label above that is automobiles. So really, all I'm asking people to do is deconstruct and break things down so that you can put them together. It's just getting people to understand that we've all got different needs. Even if you've got one product, it can have possibly multiple uses. And it comes back to whichever way, verbally, internet-wise, or whatever, asking questions. So quickly, I'll move on to basically my second topic is, you know, what actually is your product or service? And it can be not just a clear, broad label, but what really is that unique something about it that is going to be appealing to that particular potential customer or customer segment, which could be quite different to another customer segment, maybe one you've not even thought of.
Well, your topics are more appropriate to the startups, of course, because they are selling the company. So they are selling their business, and that's why they need to show more components of different types. But I think that in general, the situation is the same with any business or with any product. It's about understanding the problem, understanding why the customer, and in terms of startups, the customer is private equity or venture fund. So the investor is the customer, and then understanding how you can use your product or your services in the way and describe it in the way that it will cover this problem of this company. It's not showing just the product itself as a constructed structure. Yes, so deconstruct it to the way that you can use parts of this identification of your product or your services to deliver to the customer. And this is actually what I see usually is the problem with exporters as well, because they, when they sell something, they start to sell the product. So they say, that my doors are the best in the world, forgetting that the client in this case is not the person that will use this table. The client is the buyer of the distributor or the category manager of the distributor. And the value for this category manager is not the table itself. It is something that will solve his problem and his need to deliver value to him. And then you need to understand how your table can cover, can satisfy the need and problem of this buyer and category manager. So this is again about talking not about your product, but thinking about the customer and understanding what to show him. And you said that the main skill in here is how to question and how to ask questions to your potential client and understand what they really know. Do you have any kind of a tips how to question, how to structure your questioning?
It comes, I think, really, this word that everybody, well, at least many people try to do, your empathy, it's getting in the same wavelength, in the same mindset, in the same feeling possibly as the customer, getting in the place of the customer. And you can find out a lot before you actually meet people or even connect with them online. When I work with any kind of business, I want them just to speak, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You know, this is the time that they give me, like, the data dump. I'm listening for the words they use. But what are the words? Is there a word that they repeat quite often? To get to know them as a person is really, I wouldn't say I couldn't help them without that, but I want to get to know them as a person, even if it's only for 5 or 10 minutes. If you will ask better questions if you have listened to the person in the first place. And even if you're not listening to them, you can get a feel usually for how companies approach things because of their marketing. If it does certainly come to a one-to-one meeting, letting the other person speak first, then you do need, of course, perhaps a trigger question to get them to speak first. But listening, when you listen and you listen for the words that people are using, then you can not use them back, and I mean in a negative way, but it should give you a good insight into some of the things they're thinking. At least it comes back again to breaking things down, and instead of having the fancy rehearsed 2 minute, 5 minute, 10 minute sales pitch, it's knowing what are your ingredients in those sales pitches, so that when you've listened to somebody, then you choose which area to go to. You don't do the whole dump of information. And I think you've heard me say a few times, YouTube every week now offers me to subscribe to some guy's channel on design thinking. Now, I thought a couple of weeks ago, hold on, I can do design thinking in 4 words, which is think about other people. And that's what this actually boils down to. It's what it really is, the summary of this. What is it? Why are you selling something? Why are you even sitting in this meeting with this particular company? You're doing it for a particular reason. What is that reason? And the reason will be that that person could be a customer. What is it that you have that's going to work for them? Getting into the heads, not in a bad way, getting into the position of other people. And you do that by listening for some keywords that they perhaps use, but also knowing and having the adaptability to use the keywords about your business, your product or service in response. You know, I see so many people, they've learned a 3 minute pitch, and I'm not just talking startups, but you know, they've learned a 3 minute blah, 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 blah. What do you do? Well, we've created an innovative blah, 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 blah. Life is not full of scripted conversations. You know, I've said at many conferences, if you even look at mainstream media, you'd think the two most important letters these days are A and I. They're not. They are and always have been C and O. Communication, collaboration. It's the togetherness, and it's creating this togetherness whereby with your customer, with your potential customer, that you come up with something that benefits you because you are making a sale, hopefully more than one, but also you are delivering value. And if you're creating value for a customer, which may not be value that's obvious for you, but you've got to listen and be flexible in order to keep having a conversation. And a conversation, think of conversations with friends. I did a talk a few years ago at some conference in Germany, and it was called, you know, don't sell, make friends.
Yeah, this is what I usually also see, and this is so simple, yes, just give opportunity to the client to tell you what they want. Because in most cases, when I ask my students, like, well, how do you think, how to know what do clients want? And the answer is very simple, ask them. Yeah, so this is the only way you can get the information about the client. And your approach of empathy and understanding how they see the problem may give you more understanding how to give them description of this solution back. Yeah, so you, using their words, how they spell it. Yeah, so how they describe what they would like to have, because even wording will matter. And I think that this is the most important thing in your methodology, that you need to deliver this kind of a keywords that will go into the heart of the client.
Yeah, and it's reflecting back so that they feel there is a connection. And, you know, I live a lot of the time in Hungary. I began a talk to students in London a few years ago in the bit of Hungarian I can speak, deliberately to exaggerate. You have literally got to speak in the language of the people you are speaking to, whether it's an audience of 200 or whether it's one person. And again, that might sound so naive and so simple, but this really is, you know, we are sitting right now in 2024 in Lviv. I know some pretty experienced journalists and geopolitical people who, you're going to Ukraine? Oh, isn't it going to be dangerous? You know, as you've pointed out, you know, we are as far, hopefully it will remain no worse than this and in fact improve. We are no further away from the front lines than from, was it Amsterdam to Milan or somewhere, or Barcelona. And, you know, it's, people don't dig beneath the surface. It is as simple as pausing. Yes, I've just done that deliberately, but pausing and not always immediately responding. These days, you know, we can immediately swipe right, swipe left, like, unlike, you know, unblock, block, etc., etc. But listening and pausing, and did they mean that? Did they mean that? And if you're not clear, there will be circumstances with people that you just don't get on with, because, hey, you're not going to get on with everybody. You're not going to get on with every particular client. My tagline for my process, and I'm sure your sophisticated listeners know what a tagline is, but just in case, it's the equivalent, the McDonald's, I'm loving it. It's the Nike, just do it. So my tagline is focus and flexibility. It's the focus on that particular set of circumstances, that meeting, that email, that conversation, and the flexibility is to adapt to a different one, and then you refocus it.
David, I would like to come back a bit to what you said, because it is, I think this is very important. When you said that you need to be flexible and you need to adapt your pitch, so this is not about the scripted pitch, because if you can download from internet, like go to the Y Combinator or page or whatever, and you will have this pitch deck examples. Yes, of how to prepare the best pitch, what slides you should use, so what taglines you should use, and then. I see that also in presentations, even worse, because so in startup world, they at least know that it should be short. In the business world, it can be like 1 hour meeting describing the product. So imagine that you have a client, yeah, so mm-hmm. a company that would like to go to the trade show, they come to you and they say, hey, David, we have 100 slide pitch deck for our client. And we know, because we have been to a simulation of negotiations by Dmytro, and he said that you need to have this 2-minute pitch to just briefly describe the client, what you do, what are you about, but then switch to questioning the client and understanding more and getting this business intelligence. And what would you say them? So how to begin and proceed with that task?
It comes back again to this questioning, but instead of questioning the client, it's questioning yourself. What is it you're actually doing? You know, if it is a door manufacturer, okay, that's a simple label to understand. But a quick example, when people are especially doing like software platforms, they connect, you know, doctors in one country with patients in another. Okay, that would be labeled medical. But what are you actually doing? You're actually doing communication. And we do forget what we are actually doing. Now, a door manufacturer is enhancing people's lives in a particular way. It's making rooms secure. Now, that could be a particular angle to take, but you can only really rebuild sentences. And I go back to my example of pizza. You know, if you know the ingredients of something, you can make a lot of other things from it.
So you need, if you have this business of anything like doors or the IT product, then you need to sit and have a look at that and understand what is inside. Yeah, so to deconstruct it to the ingredient.
Let's use the example of actually a talk. I've helped people make TED talks and TEDx talks, and there's usually a theme. And let's say, for the sake of a business, the theme is the business. You know, what are the products you make? That's one topic, or maybe more than one topic if you have more than one particular product line. What are the, I don't know, three, maybe five, maybe maximum seven very, very particular features about each of those products? Really, really, really. Just one word, maybe a number. You know, it's 80% stronger or faster or something like that. But what would be literally a list of ingredients for the business? Break it down to the list of ingredients for the product and really, really get this as few words as possible. It's not about making everything a tweet, but if you've got a list of words that then you are in a position of being able to do what we've talked about, construct. You know, when I ask even experienced companies, you know, so tell me some keywords about the company. And they say, well, it's innovative. And before they get the second word or the third word out, I'll say, stop, because that tells me nothing. You know, what are you actually doing? And let people, it is about having conversations.
Okay, so we have deconstructed that, and we have described that in several key words, what's next?
It depends, and it totally does depend. And it is about all the things we've talked about. It's about listening, it's about asking questions, and it's having in your mental toolkit the flexibility of thinking to answer, so you're interested in that part of our product, or maybe this? Have you thought about doing this with it? And it is a conversation. And when people feel they're having a conversation, they don't feel they're being sold to. Most people like to buy things, but they don't want to be sold to. And by creating an atmosphere, by listening, by having a matching sense of style, it's not about being false. You know, we can, even us males can detect false things. Females are way better than us at this, but even we will feel when something isn't being genuine. And being genuine is coming from having conversations with people, which comes from asking questions, but having the deep knowledge of what your products and services can do, but not in a way that makes you sound like you've just learned a 5-page script. And you mentioned before about 100 slides and things. You know, please, people, stop making slides when you are actually giving a talk. You end up talking about the slides and not your product or service. Yes, you can make brochures, but there should be, again, a lot of flexibility, whether it is a download, whether it is through a QR code to your website. You need to break down the communication as well into the segments, into a particular aspect that's going to be a different different, appealing to a different type of person.
How short should be this construction? When you deconstructed what you do into the keywords and you got the idea of the ingredients, and then you said that you should construct it back. And usually, like we say, this elevator pitch or like 2 minute speech. And are there some suggestions or advice how short this presentation, how, what is the most shortest version of the presentation could be?
I've said that, say, one of the topics I can use with people from any country pretty much in the world is pizza. But unfortunately, another one, and I'm not making fun of this topic, another one is diabetes, because most people, unfortunately, have one way or another knowledge, if not experience, of diabetes. So, you know, if I said diabetes and skin patch, $15, medical doctor, 400 million people. That's seven facts there. Now, it doesn't take too long to think, okay, maybe the person speaking is a medical doctor. So this is a skin patch for diabetes. Now, what does it do? So we're missing one fact. $15. What's that represent? 400 million people, and I think it's unfortunately a higher number now. That's probably the number of diabetics in the world. So five facts, you need two more. Let's say it delivers insulin. Let's say $15 is, I don't know what it would be, a weekly subscription. Seven facts, and you've got a huge amount of information in those seven facts, which most people would, listening or reading those seven facts, would be able to join the dots to make what that business is. Now, if you are the medical doctor or the medical doctor's salesperson, you can then build upon those core facts depending on who it is you're speaking to. You know,
so in fact, we just made the 100 slide presentation into seven words.
Yeah, it may not be possible quite down to, and seven doesn't really matter, but that's just an example. And you know, if you were to be a salesperson for that company, you probably wouldn't want to remind a diabetic or a group of diabetics there's another 400 million of them, so you don't use that fact. You add perhaps a description of how, because it's a skin patch, how much easier it is. But, you know, the thing is, in order of what are the things to come up with, you know, what are the nouns? What are the concrete words that, you know, we go back to your friend, you know, doors, that's an easy one. With diabetes, the concrete words are diabetes and skin patch, for example. Now, the concrete words, that sets anybody listening or reading, they know in that case you're not talking about some shopping app or whatever. It puts you in the area that you're talking about. Now, of course, really getting it down to the fewest core things, because then psychologically, from the salesperson, you are always constructing. Hey, it's another CO word again. It's another together word, a co-word. You are constructing a bigger sentence or sentences. You are not, I've only got 2 minutes and I've got a 5 minute presentation. What do I take away? Taking away is negative. It's psychologically negative for the salesperson. You want to be always building, because building is adding value. Building is what you want to do. Build a relationship. Building. These are all just actually simple things which just rely on human nature. We want to buy things we don't want to be sold to. We want to improve our personal and business situation. And both sides want that, the salesperson and the customer. You know, these are just fundamental things, and we don't want to be overloaded with information. And I'm aware that we are nearly in danger here of overloading people with information. But I go back to my, perhaps not too liked by design thinking people, but I maintain design thinking is just think about other people. And if you have those four words in your sales approach, it will take you a long, long way.
It looks like the more simple it is, the more difficult it becomes. So, I mean, we just described the methodology that is simple is itself, but it is much more harder to implement it. So there is no again, we see that in business and also in life, there is no magic pill that you can buy and use. You need to really understand your client. You need to really understand the problem, what the client has. You need to really understand your own business and your own product, and to the extent of deconstructing that to ingredients. And then you need to be quite flexible, and for that you need to train a lot. Yeah, so you need to experience that a lot of times to be able to quickly collect what you know and what you deconstructed to what is appropriate for this situation.
It reminds me when you were doing the summary just then of, you see, being British, we always say it's Winston Churchill. Americans say it's Mark Twain, who said the following. I think it was actually Blaise Pascal. The variation of the phrase I'm talking about is, if I had more time, I would have written less. And that really is the essence of it. Let's do the deconstructing. Get your ingredients. You know, if you go to a supermarket, how many ingredients are there? You don't buy all of them. Even if you had 10% of them, you wouldn't use 10% of them in every single meal. You just choose what is appropriate for that set of circumstances. It isn't complicated. It is about being flexible and being able to focus.
Thank you, David. It was a nice and interesting conversation. I hope that we will have a chance to go deeper, because I know that you have much more to say and we could talk for ages.
Let me hijack the ending for a moment. So earlier in the year, I was at an event in London around entrepreneurship, whatever. And somebody asked me when I was leaving, did I have a good time? And I said, yeah, it was really enjoyable. He said, oh, I need some help with communication. And I said, okay, three tips. One, don't make slides. Two, really know your audience. And three, say maximum 50% of what you think you want to say. That is
that simple as it is.
That's it.